Welcome to NoSpinHomilies.com. I invite you to join me to reflect upon the homilies of Father Dan. Father Dan will challenge us to open our heart, mind, and soul to the Word of God. Father Dan will draw upon sacred scripture, along with art, literature, and the lives of the saints, to help us grow in our love and knowledge of the scripture. In doing so, we can become the living Word of God in this world. Now it is my pleasure to present to you No Spin Homilies.
This weekend, we celebrate the beginning of the season of Advent, and it's a season in which we prepare for the arrival of our Savior. We prepare and we wait to welcome Christ, our King. Now, an essential component of this season of Advent, like Lent, is a penitential characteristic that is associated with Advent. During the coming weeks ahead, the 4 weeks of Advent, it is a time in which we look deep within ourselves to see what is preventing us from fully and completely welcoming God into our life. And therefore, we take action to rid those things out of our life so that we can fully and completely welcome Jesus into our life. Now stop and think for just 1 second. If we are waiting to welcome our Savior, then we have to realize that there is something that we are in need of being saved from. What is it? Sin. The one component that prevents us from fully and completely welcoming Christ into our life is our own sin. I think during this time of Advent is a time in which we have to recognize that we are all sinners. I'll be the first one to admit it. Yet we also have to realize that we are in need of our Savior to help us conquer the sin in our life. Notice the lyrics of the song, O Come, Emmanuel, and Ransom Captive Israel. Well, during this Advent season, we realize that we too are captive, held hostage by our sin, and therefore we are in need of Jesus Christ as our Savior to release us out of this bondage, this slavery of sin. Now, what's one of the worst things that could happen to us? We enter into a state of denial. We say to ourselves, you know, I don't have any problems. I'm okay. Or, you know, I do have a few small problems in my life, but I have them under control. Well, if that's our attitude, I think that instead of having them under control, they probably control us, our sin. Now, last week, I read a very interesting article about how the 12-step recovery program is very synonymous with the Advent season. In the 12-step recovery program, whether you're recovering from alcoholism, drug addiction, eating, gambling, whatever it is, the only way a person can first get help to begin to recover is to hit bottom, to bottom out. Now, that can come in different forms. For example, if your addiction is gambling, maybe bankruptcy and the loss of your house is a way in which you bottom out. Or maybe you have an eating disorder, maybe anorexia, and you have to be hospitalized because your organs are now malfunctioning. Whatever it is, bottoming out is a cold and sober shock of reality. And whatever the addiction is, it renders the person completely powerless. Now, once the person has hit bottom, the person realizes the hard reality that 1, they have a problem. 2, they are not able to solve that problem or deal with it on their own. They need help. 3, they have to realize that they need help from a higher power, essentially God. Next, they have to turn themselves over to God for help. Now stay with that concept and apply it to the season of Advent. During this season, we become aware that we have a problem, sin. And we cannot conquer that sin on our own. We cannot overcome it. Instead, we need a higher authority. We need God in our life. We need our Savior. And therefore, during this season of Advent, these coming 4 weeks, we turn ourselves over to God, convinced that we definitely need help, and the only person that can help us is God, Jesus Christ. That's why this is such a joyful season in which we celebrate the person, Jesus Christ, who will liberate us from this captivity of sin. Now, it's important for us to turn to the scriptures for this weekend, especially the first reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah gives us a wonderful picture of our human condition. In fact, in this first reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah, it really sets the tone for the coming 4 weeks of the season of Advent. Now, in order to truly fathom and appreciate this reading, we have to understand the context in which it is set in. Right now, Isaiah is writing this scripture passage as a slave in Babylon. The Israelite nation and army has been destroyed by the Babylonian army. The Babylonians have marched into Jerusalem, God's holy city, and have leveled it. The Babylonians have gone to the temple, the place where God himself dwells, where the Ark of the Covenant is, and they have looted it and then destroyed it. Worse yet, they have taken all the Israelites into slavery and marched them back to Babylon, which is present-day Iraq. Now, this was a critical time in the history of Israel as a nation and as a religion. Many Israelites began to raise some serious questions about their faith. How could God allow this to happen? The Israelites were God's chosen and holy people. Israel was supposed to be God's holy nation. It was to be the light to draw all nations back to God. And yet, it is in ruins, and her people are now in some foreign land, living as slaves. As the first reading begins, Isaiah prays to God with deep remorse, because it was Israel's infidelity to God that led to the destruction of a nation, the temple, and the enslavement of all the Israelites. Listen now. You, the Lord, are our Father, our Redeemer. You are named forever. Why do you let us wander, O Lord, from your ways? The Israelites have wandered. They've wandered spiritually because they practiced idolatry. They were unfaithful to God, and now they are spiritually as well as physically lost. One of the most important aspects in the spiritual life is to always walk the path that leads to God. Then we will always have good spiritual health. Yet, when do we struggle? When we get off that beaten path. Sin pushes us off that path. And then when we are off that path, we begin to wander like the Israelites, and we get lost. Now, many of us, at some point in time in our life, have been lost. We've taken the wrong exit off of an interstate. We've taken the wrong turn and ended up in the wrong neighborhood. Some way, shape, or form, we've been lost. Now, it's a deeply frightening situation. We don't know where we are, and worse yet, we don't know where we're going. Suddenly, our heart starts racing. Our mouth goes dry. We get this nauseating feeling in the pit of our gut, and panic sets in. Well, apply that now to the spiritual life. When sin enters into our life, it pushes us off that path that leads to God, and now we have become lost. And it's frightening in the spiritual life when we do not know where we are and we don't know the path that will lead to God. Yet what's the good news? During this Advent season, we prepare for our Savior to come into our life and do what? Lead us back onto the right path, the path that always leads to Him. My friends, how does Jesus refer to Himself from time to time in the Gospels? He'll always refer to himself as, "I am the good shepherd. My sheep know my voice. They hear me and they follow after me." Or, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Jesus is our Savior, whose mission is to get us back on the right path that will lead to Him. Next, Isaiah writes, "Why do you let us wander, O Lord, from your ways, and harden our hearts so that we fear you not?" Harden our hearts. The heart is at the center of life. It's critical in sustaining our own life. Yet this is the place where Jesus should exist, so that Christ now becomes the very epicenter of our life. And yet, it is described that the heart has been hardened because of sin, making it difficult, almost impossible, for us to welcome God into our life. My friends, what we have to understand and appreciate is that we have a God that just isn't satisfied with coming into this world and accomplishing His mission. Instead, He wants to take up residence at the very center of our life, in our heart. God doesn't want to be on the peripheral of our life, competing with a myriad of other activities or priorities for our time and attention. Christ wants to be the source and center of our life. And therefore, during the season of Advent, we must place Him there. Finally, at the very end of the scripture passage, Isaiah continues on and he says, "Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down, with the mountains quaking before you." Now, this is a statement of anger and frustration. Isaiah is essentially expressing his anger about God. He's more or less saying, "How long, God? How long will you continue to allow us to suffer as slaves in this foreign land? We're desperate. We need your help." My friends, I think most of us at some point in time in our life have echoed these words, felt these feelings. Maybe we have experienced a time of anguish in which we've cried out to God, "How long, O Lord? How long will you allow me to suffer in this way?" Now, these times or these experiences of anguish could come in many different forms. First and foremost, the financial crisis that has affected so many of us. So many have lost jobs, our bank accounts have been cut in half. Or maybe the anguish has come in the form of depression, anxiety, or an unexpected diagnosis. Maybe the anguish has come in the form of a strained relationship or even marriage. And we've cried out in desperation, "How long, O Lord? How long will you allow us to suffer?" Yet, how does Isaiah cope with this sense of desperation with God? Listen now. He writes, "Yet, O Lord, you are our Father, and we are the clay, and you are the potter." Isaiah refers to God now as a Father, and we are His children. What Isaiah is essentially telling us is he's saying, "I don't know when God will rescue us, and I don't know how God will do it. But most importantly, I do know that God will. He will rescue us at some point in time." And therefore, he maintains his sense of hope, the hope that God will truly come and rescue them from their captivity. At the very end, Isaiah says, "We are the clay and you are the potter. We are all the work of your hands." Now, I think that's a beautiful image for us to take with us, not just this weekend, but for the remainder of this season of Advent. Take it with you for the next 4 weeks. What is clay? It's a simple material. It can be shaped and molded into the image of whatever the potter wants. Now, pottery is not easy. It's a very time-consuming and very labor-intensive process. The potter is constantly working with that clay, molding it, shaping it, forming it. Well, allow yourself to be that clay. Surrender yourself during the season of Advent and allow God to place His hands upon you and mold you into the image that He wants of you and each and every one of us, into the image and likeness we were all created in, the image and likeness of God. I think that's a wonderful image to help us in this season of Advent. And so, surrender yourself to God in the sacrament of reconciliation, confession. Recognize that our sin is something that we cannot resolve or deal with on our own. We need the help of our Savior to rescue us from that captivity. And so go to confession. Surrender yourself to God at Mass. It is at weekly Mass in which you receive the wisdom of God through the Scriptures and you receive the body and blood of Jesus Christ. You become what you eat. And furthermore, it is in the Mass in which you continue to receive and be reassured of the hope that we will truly be rescued from whatever anguish, whatever challenge we may be facing. Finally, surrender yourself to God in prayer. When we pray, God will always remain the source and center of our life, rather than on the periphery, competing with other priorities in our life. My friends, it is so important as we enter into this season of Advent, a season of joy in which we prepare for the coming of our Savior, to surrender ourselves now to God. Surrender yourself to God, and then you will always walk the right path, the path that leads to Christ. And may the peace and the grace of Jesus Christ rest upon you always.